evening we want to talk about faith. As we've sung in a lot of the songs, and even some that you folks picked were related to that. And what is faith? We want to see what God says that it is. And first of all, in order for you and to me, and for you and for me, to have faith, we must do what? We must please God. And that is the only way that you and I can please Him, because the Bible is very explicit on that in Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So, in order for you and for me to please God, I think it is very necessary that you and I listen to what God has to say. For we're told that faith cometh by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. So we must listen, and we must read, we must be very sure that we are listening to what God has to say, and that we're not listening to something that is a tradition, or is something that has been handed down, or something to which we have listened, and we have become accustomed to, or acclimated to that situation. Now I'd like for you to turn with me to scriptures this evening, and you read them in your Bible, as I read them to you, in the way that perhaps sometimes we listen, and this, our actions say that we listen this way. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 4. And as we turn there, let's ask ourselves, can what God says be depended upon? Now let's keep that in our minds as we go through and look at what we want to see this evening. Can what God says be depended upon? Does God's Word make you uncomfortable? When God's Word is spoken in its simplicity and in its entirety, does God's Word make you uncomfortable? When you read it and God is criticizing you, and we do, and we read it, God does criticize us, and God does admonish us, God does exhort us, God does warn us. We'll see this evening. And so can God's Word be depended upon? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ was being tempted by Satan, by the devil. And we read in chapter 4 and verse 4, but he answered and said, it is written, man shall live by bread alone, and it is not important what proceeds out of God's mouth. Now, is that the way it's written? But is that the way we act in our everyday life? Is that the way that the world of Christendom is going today? Is what proceeds out of God's mouth important? Or do we change the scripture around to suit ourselves? But my friend, when you're changing the Word of God, you're going to get into problems. But here we see that it is important. The Lord Jesus Christ said, man shall not live. That little three-letter word there, not, makes a lot of difference there. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And he got that from where? He's the one that he helped write this. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So he got it from back in Deuteronomy, where it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Now, do you really listen to what the Bible says? When you're looking at it, when you're reading it, when you're studying it, is it speaking to you? It's a living word, and it should be speaking to you and speaking to me as we read it and as we study it. Or is the Bible according to your interpretation? Now, there's a lot of that today, my friend. The Bible according to my interpretation. And this is what God intends it to be. God says that we are to compare spiritual things with spiritual things. In 1 Corinthians, turn there, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 13. And again, let's look and see how we are today making scriptures applicable to our very own self and to our situations and to the way that it would please us. In 1 Corinthians 2 and 13, we read, which things also we speak in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but not which the Holy Spirit teacheth, not comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Is that the way it reads? That isn't the way that it reads, is it? That isn't what it says. We see we're changing things around to suit our own individual needs, and that will not do. We've been doing it for 2,000 years or longer than that, ever since man has been. Man has been changing around what God has said. And it says in the scripture, Hath God said this? God told people in the Old Testament, I don't know exactly how he told them because it doesn't say, but God told them to bring a sacrifice. And one brother brought a sacrifice of a lamb, a slain lamb, and God accepted that. The other brother brought a sacrifice of beautiful things from the earth. That isn't what God told him to bring. You see, he changed things around to suit his own need, and the other brother was blessed, even though he got killed by the wicked brother, because he brought what God told him to bring. So, let us look at some more scriptures that must have little or no effect on the world today. And you and I as Christians must know the Word of God. And when we hear people misquote it, we must realize that there is something there that is not the truth. There's something there that isn't right. So in Jonah, if you want to turn there, Jonah 2 and 9. And it's important that we look at the Word of God in its entirety and in what it says. Now Jonah was here in the belly of the fish, in Jonah 2 and 9. And it says, But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will not pay that which I vow, for salvation is not of the Lord. Is that what that verse says? You see, when he was down there and he was in trouble, what did he say? He didn't say that. You see, he says salvation is of some other means, so I need not listen to God. That's what people are saying today. And my friend, if you would realize the majority of the people in this United States of America, you watch them on television and see what they say. They don't like to talk about the things of the Lord. You get to look at these talk shows, and when someone speaks up about the Lord, they shut him or shut her up. And so we need to be able to know the Word of God, and a lot of these people that start to speak of the Word of God, the unbeliever will shut them up because the believer doesn't know enough about the Word of God to not argue, but to expound what is being said. They don't know. Some guy like Donahue, who's got a big mouth, who will shut them up because they don't know what to say. Now, if they had some preacher on their line, I'm sure, like Dr. Stanley or Billy Graham, they could answer, but you and I are supposed to know as much about the Bible as Dr. Graham and Dr. Stanley. We're to know that much about the Bible. And so, you see, we've been listening, instead of listening to God, we've been listening to man. And so, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. And oh, this is a good one here. First Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2, it says, Moreover, it is not required in swords that a man be found faithful. Now God must, that is the way most people have written that in their mind, isn't it? You see, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, every bit of it. Now listen, my friend, how many times have you rewritten this verse here in your mind? How many times have you been unfaithful? How many times have I been unfaithful? Then if I have, I've said right here, moreover, it's not required in me that I be found faithful. You see what how important it is? And in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 8, we're told that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we come to this thought and this realization, my promises to God are not binding. The Lord is not just the same as He was when I first got saved. Yes, He is. The Lord didn't change. The Lord didn't change. You change. It's like, I have to get to my wife, and I suppose you guys can too, but you know, when we were first married, when we drove down the street in a car, it looked like one person with two heads. But it ain't like that anymore. But I didn't move. See, now is that the way it is with you fellas? See, the woman's the one that moved. You see, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. And he's the same when we got saved. So we need to realize that the Lord doesn't need our time, nor our talent, nor our money. Is that what we need to realize? See, it says there, it's not required in the steward that he be found faithful. The Lord doesn't need my time. The Lord doesn't need my talent. The Lord doesn't need my money. He never said anything about it in the Word of God. Oh, didn't he? Didn't he say that he needed our time? Didn't he say he needed our talent? Didn't he say he needed our money? And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you'd like to turn there, about where we learn about the Lord's Supper. And a lot of people are, have this in mind when it's so important. This is the one that the Lord, I think, this is the one that he asked us to come to. Maybe he didn't. Let's see what the Word of God says. 1 Corinthians 11 and 23. And the Apostle Paul says, "For I have not received these things of the Lord. I just told you that he gave them to me. The night which I think he was betrayed, I heard that he took some bread and gave thanks when he broke it. He said, if you ever eat this bread, you might remember me, but if you don't want to, that's okay." Is that the way we read the Word of God? By our actions. You know, when James wrote his epistle, it's not an epistle of works, it's an epistle of faith. It's an epistle of showing your faith. And this is what we need to realize. We need to listen. We're not listening to God. We're listening to our feelings. We're listening to what we want. But God wants us to listen to Him. Now turn to John chapter 13 and verse 35. And he says there, the Lord Jesus says, "It doesn't matter if unbelievers know you are my disciples. So you do not need to show love one to another." Is that the way we're acting? Is that the way we're showing forth this scripture that the Lord Jesus Christ said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by the love that you have one to another"? Do we love one another? And Hebrews chapter 10, turn there. Chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And this is one that we've turned around to suit ourselves like many, so many others. In Hebrews 10, chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And reading, "And you need not consider one another, just consider yourself." Now is that what he says? But is that what we're doing? He says, "Now you consider one another. Provoke them to love." But it says, love and good works are not needed. Is that what we're seeing today? So you don't need to bother attending the meetings of the church. Now, if all scripture is given by inspiration of the Lord, and it is, then we do need to listen to what he says. And we do need to not make these scriptures, "It's not so important that I attend the church." Well, then you're paraphrasing just like I wrote it there in a false way. It is important that you attend the services because God says so. God says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is." How can you provoke me to love if you don't come around me? How can I provoke you to good works if I don't come around you? So, as we've considered that these interpretations are incorrect, and they certainly are, but let's look now at Hebrews chapter 11. I want you to turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. And how are we, how are we to consider this chapter if we're not going to look at it in the way that God has written it? And I want us to look that way. Now it says in chapter 11 and verse 1, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for." Do you know that faith is the only mandatory and essential initial response of man to the grace of God? It's the only one. A man who is void of faith cannot please God. You just can't do it. Now, faith is the nominal verb of to be, or to believe in this case. It's the nominal verb of believe. And faith in the Greek word is pistis. And in the that is faith, and it's derived the same word. You can interchange them. You can't separate them. Faith and belief. Faith in the Greek is pistis, and believe is pistuian, and it's the two are the same, and they both denote or describe the means of trust. We're trusting in God. So trust is the substance of things hoped for. Faith is the substance or the foundation of things for which we hope. And the meaning of faith is that it's a solid and unshakable confidence in God. If we believe in God, and as we look here in chapter 11 of the book of Hebrews, it will show that God was approving the behavior of those in chapter 11. God approves the behavior of these people, and we will note that it was faith. And faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is a leap in the light, forward to light and comprehension. We're trusting God for something that is sure. So it says faith is the what? Substance. There's something to it. There is matter to it. There, it's within your being. Faith is the substance. It's the very foundation, the very essence of things we hope for. And so it is the evidence. The evidence. Faith is the evidence of things that we don't see, but we're just as sure of them as these people were, or we should be. We should be just as sure of faith as these people were in chapter 11. Now, it says, through faith, we, what's the next word in the King James? Verse 2. Through faith, we understand. Now, you see there? Through faith, we understand. And you can't understand without faith. Not the things of God. You can't understand without trusting in God. With trusting, complete trust in what He has said. We understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. But you can't believe in that unless you have faith. That's what's going on today, this evolution bit. There's no faith. But, you know, really, it would take a lot more faith to believe that junk than it does to believe God. But they just don't realize it. But through faith, we understand, you see. We understand it. We know it, that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now, when we give to God, how do we give it? It says in the next verse, by faith, Abel, what's the next word? Offer. You see, by faith, Abel offered. You can't offer to God unless it's by faith. Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Cain brought an offering, but it wasn't acceptable to God. You see, he didn't understand. As it says here, through faith we understand. And then you get down to verse 5. And it says, by faith, Enoch was what? Translated. And my friend, you're never going to be translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son without F-A-I-T-H. You know that? You're never going to be translated. He's translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, and that's by faith. That's believing. That's the Greek word pistis and the Greek word pistulion. They're both the same. Belief and faith. We must realize this. So, by faith, Enoch was translated. And then verse 6. But without faith, it's what? It is, what's the next word? By faith, it is impossible, you see. Without faith, it is impossible. There isn't anything possible without faith for you and for me, because it says, with God, all things are possible. And with God, anything is possible. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. You see, everything is dependent upon how we believe, how we trust, and how we our relationship is to God. And then we go to verse 7. By faith, Noah being, what's the next word? Warned. God warns us. And how does He warn us? By faith. You see, Noah was out there, and God said to him, Noah, you build an ark. Lord, I don't even know what an ark is. You don't find that in the Word of God, do you? By faith, Noah was warned of God that there was a flood coming. And Noah believed God. Noah hadn't seen a flood. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Noah was just as sure as the flood was coming as the flood came. But he had never seen the flood, never rained before. That's faith. That's what we're speaking about. That is the thing that to which we need to look, is to believe God. You see, this is the thing that is so important. Noah being warned of God of things not seen, yet moved with fear. And faith needs to move us sometimes with fear. We need to prepare an ark for our house. And we've spoken on that here to the young people. And it's so important that they prepare an ark for the saving of their house. And those were the only people that were saved, was Noah and his wife and his sons and their wives. That was it. Because Noah was moved with fear when he was warned of God. By what? What moved him? By faith. Faith moved him, you see. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen, moved with fear. Faith moved him. And moved him with fear. Now, faith does something else. It tells us here about Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was what? Now listen, when God calls you, you better do it. The children sing that chorus. When God calls you, you see, and by faith, you see, God called Abraham and he said, get out of your land. Now if you read the Bible clear through, you'll find out that Abraham tarried a while before he got out of that land. But I don't have time to get into that this evening. But God called him. And by faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that he should receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He obeyed, and he went out not knowing where he went. So, Abraham faith. And then by faith, he walked, in verse 9. He sojourned. When God says go, we should walk. Go. When God says stay, we should stay. When God says wait, we should wait. When God says pray, we should what? Pray. And oh, there's so much in the Bible about you praying and about me praying, about getting ourselves in a relationship with God and talking with Him and listening to Him. By faith he sojourned in a land of promise in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Now, faith causes us to do something in verse 10, isn't it? Yes, verse 10. It causes us to watch, like you and I are doing today. He looked for. And we're looking for what? For the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we know that? We know that by the Word of God. We know that in 1 Thessalonians. That we're looking for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're looking for that glorious appearing. Now, how do we know that if we don't read the Word the way that it is, and we don't look at it the way that it is written and listen to it in our hearts the way God wants us to listen? He looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That's the kind of city that He wanted, and that's the kind of city that's prepared for those that are born again. The New Jerusalem. And this is something that is so wonderful. Now, verse 11. Through faith, Sarah herself did what? Received strength. You see, Sarah was 90 years old. She didn't have strength to have a kid. She didn't have strength to bear a child. But through faith, she received strength to conceive seed. It tells us right there what she did. She received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful who had promised. And oh, the promises that God has given to you and to me. And oh, how we neglect them and how we misuse them. And everything is so much more important today than what God says. People come to church on Sunday morning or gather. I don't know if they come to church, they gather together. You know, the church is only together when believers are gathered together. Now, you've studied that out in the Word of God. The only time there's a meeting of the church is when all believers are gathered together. Because Christ added daily to the church such as should be saved. But it is an important, it's the place where I attend, have meetings on Sunday night or Wednesday night. Oh, isn't it? You see, this is what we're putting other things before what God says. God says it's important. And so we think that this is important and that is important. And there are people that put their babies or their children, and they use them as excuses. My friend, don't ever, ever do that. God may take that child away from you. Don't ever be honest with God. Tell the truth. Don't, if, A lady was talking with Blanche a couple of weeks ago, and Blanche asked her why she wasn't here, and she just said, well, I was too lazy. And you know, Blanche said that she appreciated that answer more than she would have the woman that had lied to her. She said, I was just too contrary to come. And so, you see, God appreciates that. Not her not coming, but you see, if she was told a lie, she has to tell another one to get out of it. And so we need to realize the importance of rearing children in the way, and we can't rear them in the way if they're not in the way. And too often there's not enough rearing when they are in the way with the Board of Education on the seat of knowledge. And then we see in verse 13, these all died in faith, every one of them, not having received the promises. That means not yet having received the promises, but they will. But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The promises that God had made to them were just as sure. And let me tell you, my friends, the land of Israel right now may be about 50 miles wide and 150 or 175 miles long, but it's going to be a lot bigger than that someday. You go back and read what God promised to Abraham. And they've never yet had it all. They almost had it all in Solomon's time, but they didn't. But they're going to have it all. Those Assyrians don't know it over there, but that belongs to Israel. They don't know that, but it does. God said it did. And you see, it's what God says. These people believe that. Now, did God tell them the truth? Did God, you get a map and you study out in the back of your Bible. Most of your Bibles have a map like this in the back of your Bible. You get it and see what God promised to Abraham. See what he promised, and are God's promises true or are they not true? God has promised, and these people died believing that, and God's going to fulfill it. Just as sure as if he's not going to fulfill that, he's not going to fulfill what he said to you and to me. And he's going to fulfill everything that we have in his realm. Now, in verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. Do we really desire a better country? Or do we have our roots so firm and so grounded here upon this earth that we don't want to let go? We're like a big old oak tree that has its roots from one end of the yard to another, and we just don't want to let go. Now look at verse 17. Faith does something else. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, you see, faith tried. God says to him, now you take your son, and God said, now this is your only son. They had another son named Ishmael, but God said, no, you take Isaac, your son, your only son. And you take him up there to Mount Moriah, and you put a knife down through him. You sacrifice him. When it says here, by faith, when Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. I didn't think he offered him up. In God's sight, he did. In God's sight, when we are faithful the way that Abraham was faithful, God sees us that way. Now, God didn't permit Abraham to put that knife through Isaac, because that was reserved for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who would take the knife of crucifixion in your place and in my place. So he was tried, and when he received the, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And Abraham had said this a long time before the book of Hebrews was written. The lad and I will go, but we'll come back. You stay here, he said to the men, but we're coming again. He believed in the resurrection. He believed what God said about it, that God was able to raise him up if God took him. Do we believe in the resurrection? You know, it says in the book of Romans, if we don't believe in the resurrection, that we're not saved. If you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Believe it in your heart. Verse 20, by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. And we can't honestly bless anyone. We can't honestly give our blessing to someone without faith. Not the kind that God wants to be given. So Isaac blessed Jacob and he blessed Esau. And by faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both his sons of Joseph, both the sons of Joseph, and worshiped. Now notice that he blessed the sons of Joseph when he was a dying man and worshiped. See, it takes faith to worship. It takes faith to be able to commune with God, to talk with God. And by faith, Joseph, verse 22, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, and did what? By faith. Gave commandments. He said, you take my bones back up there in that land. But he gave commandments by faith. He was trusting in God, and he's still trusting in God that he will be resurrected one day, and he wanted his bones to be in the land. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now they were to get rid of all these male children, but his parents hid him 3 months in the bulrushes, and it was by faith, and it took a lot of faith. They hid him there because they saw that he was a proper child. They were in hopes that he would be the deliverer from the bondage of Egypt, and he was. And it was only because of faith that they had. And they hid Moses there. In verse 24, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused. You see, here faith causes a refusal. And we need this today. We need a refusal of the things of the world. But Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter because he wasn't. And he refused this by faith. He listened to what God said. He was not listening to what some man said about making the scriptures say what they didn't say and didn't say what they do say, and as we were looking at there in the first place. Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He overcame. In verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Now, he was not fearing the wrath of the king, and this was a dreadful thing. The Pharaoh was a powerful man, and Moses was not afraid of him. Why? Because of faith. He had his faith in someone who was stronger than Pharaoh. And if you don't have faith in someone stronger than yourself or some idol, you're in a mess. Our faith is in one who is able. He is able to do things that we want him to do and that he wants us to do. Verse 28. Through faith, he kept the Passover. Now the Lord said, when I see the blood on the lintel on the doorpost, I'll pass over you. Moses said, I don't know whether that's the thing to do or not. We just painted the building. Now he wants us to smear blood on it. Is that what Moses said? Moses said, now every one of you, you put blood on the lintel on the doorpost, and the Lord said, Moses was relating what the Lord said to the people, and he said, when I pass through the land at midnight with the death angel, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. It took faith to do that. It took faith. Now the death angel was coming, and what a powerful thing it was. It's more powerful than any atom bomb or any hydrogen bomb that there's ever been or ever will be. And because a hydrogen bomb in God's hand would just be nothing like a little firecracker popping off, as far as God is concerned. So you see, here he had faith, and he kept the Passover. In verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea on the dry land. They had no place to turn. They were there and the Egyptians were behind them and the Red Sea was before them. The mountains were around them. They had nothing to do but to look up. And God said, be still. And he said to Moses, he said, stretch forth your hand with the rod or your rod, the rod that's in your hand over the sea and it will be parted. And they walked right down through there. Now, I don't know whether those waters were parted or not. God says they were. So we have to know that they were. You see, people use that today and they say, I don't know whether the Red Sea was parted or not. I don't care whether you know it or not. God said it was. See, that's the important thing. God said it was. And the important thing is, you'll never get a Jew to tell you that it wasn't, because their great-grandparents walked right through there. Their great-grandparents walked through there, and you know something? They didn't get any mud on their feet. How do I know? The Word God says they walked through dry shod. They didn't even get mud on their feet. You go out here and dry up the PD River and walk right through it and see how muddy you get. You see, this is what the way God does things. And then verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down. after that they were compassed about 7 days. You hear the song, Joshua fit the battle of Jericho. That's no such thing. Joshua did not fight the battle of Jericho. The Lord fought the battle of Jericho, and the walls fell down. The Lord did the fighting. All they did was listen to what he said. And by faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not. Now you said, well, she told a lie. Listen, my friend, she had faith enough to know that the people that with whom she was living and were and she was dwelling there, that these people were wrong and they were going to perish. And she said to the spies, we have heard what you have done. And she had faith enough to know that she had to go with them. And that's that scarlet thread that came out of her window. And that scarlet thread, my friend, runs all the way through the Bible, which represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So it says here, by faith, when she had received the spies with peace, faith brings peace to our hearts. And he says we could go on here. He says we could talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel the prophet. Verse 33, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions. Look at that. Quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. Now listen, on all these, having attained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Just think of that. They without us should not be made perfect. Oh, the faith. Oh, the basis that God has given to you and to me to trust in Him. That's what it's all about. It's faith. It's believing. And if we don't believe God, there's of no value to this word right here whatsoever. If you don't believe God, then you are of all men, you're just like reprobates. You see, if we don't believe God, we're told that in Romans. You see, the people at one time had the way of God. Everybody, because it started with Adam and Eve. And it came down from them. And having known God, they believed not God. And so finally God gave them up to reprobate minds. So it's so important that we have faith in God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So can we depend upon what God says? Oh, assuredly we can. It tells us in the book of Psalms that His word is forever settled in heaven. And whether we believe it or not, that has no effect upon it as far as it being true. It is true. It will stand. It was here when you came. It'll be here when you're gone. The word of God standeth sure. And I hope that we can see this. And when you take your Bible, if you'll just study it like that, and take it and I put here faith, we understand. I've underlined or circled it. We understand. We offer. We were translated, and it's impossible to please Him. And see how God speaks to us and how He wants to have you and to have me learn of Him. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto to the Word of God. Psalm 119. See, if we don't take heed to the Word of God, we cannot cleanse our way, whether we're young or whether we're old. Notice too, if you'll come, let's sing hymn number 598. And there's no other way for any of us to be happy but this, standing as we sing under His wing.